The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you are serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to continue with our series, Where Will You Spend Eternity? And this is part 11. Overview. This is about what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. We'll continue to look at the foolish virgins, and we will then look at the famous reformer amongst the foolish virgins. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this is based on the ebook 2024-0103, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With commentary on the Final Quest, 3rd edition, part 11. The original article was written in 2003. So we're continuing to look at the foolish virgins on page 86, paragraph 3 of the Final Quest. The copy that I have, it's scanned, it's on the website under the ETI Bible version page. Jonah describes noticing enormous numbers of people standing in ranks. He describes them as dazzling, more regal than anyone I'd ever seen. Their countenance was captivating. Never had such peace and confidence graced a human face. Each one was beautiful beyond any earthly comparison. Jonah enters into conversation with one of these people who informs him that they are the great cloud of witnesses and that they know all of you and we see all that you do. The man he is speaking to goes on to say, the second death is much more terrible than we understood. A sober warning. He says further, if I had known on earth what I know here, I would not have lived the way that I did. So a reminder from last week, we're talking about the foolish virgins, people who wasted their lives in some form of ineffective service of Yah. And I want to bring you really to the point of my whole ministry, which is to seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator. If you're doing anything else, you're missing the point. If you're a believer and you're doing some things and you're going to church or mosque or synagogue or temple or whatever and doing some good works, but you don't have a relationship with the Creator, if you're not in conversation with Him, not in dialogue with Him, you're missing the point of your existence. And the best you can hope for is that you're going to scrape by into the outer reaches of the throne room as a foolish virgin. On page 88, chapter 2, paragraph 2, the same man makes the point that there is a marked difference between honoring one another in love and worshipping them. He further states that if this was understood on earth, we would treat others very differently. On 88.4, this man advises Joyner that we are the least of those here. When Joyner questions this, the man continues on 89.1, there's an aristocracy of sorts here. The rewards of our earthly lives are the eternal positions that we will have forever. This great multitude are those whom Yeshua called foolish virgins. He goes on to explain that the people in this group knew Yah, the eternally self-existing, and trusted in the stake of Yeshua for salvation. But we did not really live for Him, but for ourselves. We did not keep our vessels filled with the oil of the set-apart Spirit. We have eternal life, but we wasted our lives on earth. Folks, this is extremely sobering. The thing about worshipping, we don't understand what worship is because we do it all the time inadvertently. Calling the Bible the Word of God is a form of worship. Calling Jesus, Yeshua, God, Yah, is a form of worship. Esteeming people to the point where you fawn over them and submit to them in an unrighteous way is worship. And the thing to notice here is that this man says, we're the least of those here. They're at the outer reaches of the throne room. So if you're one of those that goes to church regularly and does your bits and pieces, you might make it there. But that's as far as you're going to go. You've got to go further. On page 89, paragraph 3, Joyner protests in response that the foolish virgins gnashed their teeth in the outer darkness. And in 89.4, the man he's speaking to confirms that this was the case. He further states, the grief that we experienced when we understood how we'd had so wasted our lives was beyond any grief possible on earth. The speaker further confirms that Joyner is standing amongst the lowest ranks in heaven and states that there is no greater folly than to know the great salvation of Yah, but to then go on living for yourself. To come here and learn the reality of that is a grief beyond what an earthly soul can experience. Folks, as I've just said, you can carry on pottering on, going to church, doing your thing. But if you're not concretely doing something to add value to the kingdom of heaven, the best you can hope for is to scrape by into the ranks of the foolish virgins. And we're going to look in a minute at some really shocking information that I hope will give you a really nasty shock, actually. You need to be galvanized into action. You need to be galvanized into leading your life differently. On page 89, paragraph 5, Joyner questions how this can be since he's experiencing these people as, quote, more glorious and full of joy and peace than he imagined possible. On 89.6, the man The other man states that the love of the Almighty is also far greater than is understood on earth. Page 90, paragraph 3, the speaker describes further details of the continuum of rank in heaven. The next level of rank here is many times greater than what we have. Each level after that is much greater than the previous one. It is not just that each level has an even more glorious spiritual body, but that each level is closer to the throne from where all the glory comes. Folks, if you listen to what I'm saying, read the final quest. You can buy it from Amazon. Various Christian bookshops have it. There's an electronic copy on the website, both with and without commentary. And I really encourage you to engage with it. Get a handle on how glorious heaven is. Get a handle on the power and authority that is given to those who successfully serve Yah in this life. We're talking things that are going to impact your life for eternity. This is not trivia. This is not nice to have. This is not incidental. This is the essence of how you live your life from this moment on. And you can either take what I have to say and take it seriously and galvanize yourself into action, or you can potter along and be disappointed when you come before the judgment seat. So what we've just heard is a confirmation of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 37 to 44. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But Yah giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and so to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Folks, it's a little bit abstract relative to what we've been looking at a few minutes ago from the final quest, but it gives the message. So if you're one of these people who's looking for a, quote, biblical basis, then this is the biblical basis that you're looking for. And I think you need to realize you need to be careful there. The final quest, in my opinion, is of comparable veracity to much of the Bible. And that's why it's on my website under the ETI Bible version page. On page 91, paragraph 1, the person speaking to Joiner, quoted above, states that he is in heaven by grace alone. Every time I read these passages, I find myself immensely challenged in terms of how I'm spending my life, and I find new energy to pray for my life to make an impact and to be led by the Almighty in everything. In 91:6, Joiner describes the grief that he experienced in looking back at his life. It seems to me that this is a challenge that every one of us faces if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, if you research Rick Joiner a bit, you will find that he published probably about 8 or 10 books before the final quest. So here you have a man who has published pretty widely around the things of the Almighty, looking back on his life and grieving that he achieved so little. That's sobering. This is a man who has been to heaven, gone through the judgment process, and looked back on his life and said, you know what? I've wasted a lot of time. If you haven't published 8 or 10 books about the matters of Yah and ministered in a church, etc., think about it. If Joyner's going through this process and saying, well, I'm only just going to make it, what are you going to achieve? It's very, very sobering. On page 92, Joyner meets a man whom he had, quote, esteemed as a great man of God, unquote. On earth, also in the place of the foolish virgins, and he enters into a discussion. In this discussion, various points are raised about discipling people on earth which are outside the scope of this broadcast. On 94.1, this man states, quote, had I not been so self-centered and concerned with my own reputation, I would be a king here. All that Joyner, have and will accomplish would have been in my heavenly account as well. Instead, much of what I gave my attention to was of very little true eternal significance. This raises some really challenging points in support of statements made earlier in the broadcasts on which this broadcast is based. We'll get to a point where I will tell you who I believe this man is, but I think we need to go a bit further. Here's a man that Joyner esteemed as a great man of Yah, but he says that he was self-centered and concerned with his own reputation and only just made it into heaven in the place of the foolish virgins. When you realize who we're talking about, you will be horrified, and I hope you will be sobered and challenged to view the rest of your life very, very differently. What I'm sharing with you in these broadcasts about where will you spend eternity is the opportunity to have a really, really high place in heaven forever and ever and ever versus the other options. It also introduces a concept which, while touched on in the traditional writings, was not previously clear to me. It is a concept that occurs in a number of other passages in the Final Quest. This concept is as follows. One, all that we do on earth results in debits and credits in our heavenly bank account. This is a reasonably well understood principle, although I have to say that I'm not sure that many people really do grasp what we're talking about there. Point number two, all that others do in response to our influence on them is also accumulated in our account. So if we influence others for good through our teachings, example, whatever, not only do they obtain credit, we also obtain credit. Thus we can continue to earn credit for centuries, or even millennia after we die. Conversely, if we influence others for evil, the same applies. Thus, there is not only an opportunity to accrue credit after our deaths, there is also an opportunity to accrue debits. So while we may live a life that is reasonably pleasing to the Father in this life, we can plant seeds that can result in destruction after our deaths, which it seems to me can eventually cancel out the credits and overwhelm them with debits. Conversely, we could live a reasonably ordinary life on earth and plant a few seeds that bear great fruit for later generations. Folks, this is really important to understand. Everything that you say and do that results in either positive things for the kingdom of Yah or negative things for the kingdom of Yah is going to be written up in a ledger credits for what you've done right, debits for what you've done wrong. And it balances out in terms of your net contribution to the kingdom of Yah. If you are not actively seeking to serve Yah and help others to serve Yah, you're not racking up much in the credits side of things. If you're doing things that lead to people doing wrong to the kingdom of Yah. So if you are engaging in business on the Sabbath and leading others who are believers to engage in business on the Sabbath, you are sowing evil. You are notching up debits in your account. Conversely, if you are encouraging others to keep the Sabbath and making them aware of the Sabbath, you are storing up credit in your account. It's so important to understand this, folks. Everything that you do in this life has consequences. This life is a test, a trial, an examination to determine your future in heaven or not in heaven, as the case may be. The accounting system for storing up treasure in heaven is complex, and the only way we can have any hope of a net positive account balance on the day of our judgment is to turn totally to the Almighty for mercy, grace, and His guidance and judgment in our lives. Anything else is a form of gambling with one's life for eternity. Page 94, paragraph 2, Joyner states to the man he's talking to that in his, Joyner's opinion, what this man who is amongst the foolish virgins had accomplished during his life was, quote, astounding. There are prayers on the website, www.etimin.org or endtimeissueministries.org. There's a page, the essence of prayer. There's another page just on prayer. There's a page on seven components of drawing close to Yah. There are ways of cleaning up your life. I encourage you to get onto the website and make a real effort to raise the bar in terms of your relationship with Yah. You want to get to a place where you hear Him clearly. You want to get to a place where He judges you and corrects you when you get into error. You want to get to a place where He leads you into all truth. And that doesn't happen at the click of a switch. It happens over years of committed engagement with teachings about Him, coming to a place of personal relationship where He is guiding you every step of the way. That's what will bring high reward. On page 94, para 3, the man replies, remember, this is a great servant of Yah in Joyner's opinion. And when I tell you his name, you will also think so. What looks good on earth looks very different here. What will make you a king on earth will often be a stumbling block to keep you from being a king here. What will make you a king here is lowly and unesteemed on earth. This supports the verses quoted earlier. What is important to the Almighty is very different to what most of us have believed. In 94:5, he goes on to state that because we discern people's problems correctly, that is, quote, never reason to reject someone. He refers to Yeshua's life and death to support this. 95:1, he states that he became like one of the goats in the parable because he rejected the Almighty by rejecting those whom the Almighty sent to him. So here we see a man who's had a profound influence on the earth, and yet he was a stumbling block. He didn't receive people that Yah sent to him. He judged them. He rejected them. If it's the man I believe it is, he also taught some very wrong doctrines. He was anti-Jewish. He promoted monogamy to the point of leading a king into error. Difficult stuff. On page 95, paragraph 2, Joyner observes that the whole battle is for the people, and yet people are often regarded as the least important. I find this a very sobering statement, one that I so easily lose sight of. Subheading, the famous reformer amongst the foolish virgins. This is from the Final Quest. In 95:4, another man joins the conversation. Joyner describes this man as one who Joyner had considered as one of the greatest Christian leaders of all time. This man goes on to say, Paul, correctly Shaul, the emissary apostle, said near the end of his life that he was the least of the saints. Then just before his death, he even called himself the greatest of sinners. Had he not learned that in his life on earth, he too would have been in jeopardy of becoming one of the least of the saints in heaven. Because he learned it on earth, he is now one of those closest to Yeshua and will be one of the highest rank for all eternity. Folks, this is really important. There are people who have all sorts of negative things to say about Paul Shaul. They're in error, folks. If you're one of those who rejects Paul's teachings, Shaul's teachings, you're likely to find yourself in an ugly situation when you come before the judgment seat. Page 96:1, Joyner states that seeing this man in the company of the foolish virgins was the greatest surprise he had yet had. This man explains that he became proud and even became an enemy of the true gospel, although at the end he trusted in the stake or the cross for his salvation. In 97:4, Joyner states that he was stunned, since history had, quote, given a very different picture of this man. In 97:5, the speaker states that the Almighty does have a different set of history books than those on the earth. He goes on to say that Joyner does not yet know, quote, how different, unquote, these books are. He continues, quote, earthly histories will pass away, but the books that are kept here will last forever. If you can rejoice in what heaven is recording about your life, you are blessed indeed. Men see through a glass darkly, so their histories will always be clouded and sometimes completely wrong. So you can live a life that you think is serving Yah and come before the judgment seat and find that you missed it. Here we're hearing from a man greatly esteemed in Christian circles, who's in the place of the foolish virgins, just made it into heaven, nearly rejected. Are you somebody like that? Are you somebody who thinks you're doing great works for Yah, but you're doing it in your own strength, in your own lusts, in your own pride, in your own understanding? Or are you somebody who's making a real difference on the earth? In 97:6, Joyner asks why many other leaders esteemed this man, and the man replies that very few people, including believers, quote, have the true gift of discernment. In 98.1, he explains that this is, quote, is why we were warned not to judge before the time, unquote. He goes on to say that there have been, quote, good motives in even the worst of men, and evil motives in even the best of them. He also says that on earth we, quote, cannot really know what is in the heart of others, unquote. It is really important that we learn not to judge others. I've just had an experience where I tried to correct somebody on Facebook who was in serious error. They came back and told me I wasn't hearing Yah and that I was in trouble. I have a lot of confidence that what I shared with that person was from Yah. That person is heading for the place of the foolish virgins at best. It's better just to hear what another has to say or read what another has to say. And if it doesn't gel for you, if it doesn't ring true for you, just pass on. Put it to one side. Don't judge them because you might just be mistaken. Yeshua in the parable says, why are you worried about the speck in the eye of your brother when you have a plank in your own eye? Think about it. In 98.3, Joyner is told that he is having the vision because he prayed for the Almighty to judge him severely, to correct him ruthlessly, so that he, Joyner, could serve the Almighty more perfectly. He also states that the wise judge themselves and the even wiser ask for the judgments of the Almighty because they realize that they cannot even judge themselves well. In closing, 98.3, Joyner refers to this man as the famous reformer. There are not many men to whom this designation could apply, and it therefore seems important to prayerfully consider who this might be and what impact the beliefs one may have about him and his work may have on one's life today. I first read this in about 1998, and I prayed, Father, judge me severely, correct me harshly, so that I may serve you more perfectly. I prayed it occasionally for the next few years, and then subsequently started praying it daily from about 2009, 2010, somewhere like that. And today I pray it just about every day. I've been judged in various ways, but I believe it helps me to stay on the straight and narrow. Regarding the famous reformer, who comes to mind for you? The more we can come to terms with the reality that we do not have the capacity to really understand whether another person is acting in a way that is pleasing to the Almighty or not, the more we may be able to stop judging others and trust the Almighty to lead us. The wife of the above-mentioned man then speaks to Joyner and in 99.2 makes the following statement, quote, you can reform the church without reforming your own soul. You can dictate the course of history and yet not do the Father's will or glorify His Son. If you commit yourself to making human history, you may do it, but it is a fleeting accomplishment that will evaporate like a wisp of smoke. End quote. In 99.3, Joyner questions the statement, but your husband's work or your work greatly impacted every generation after him for good. It is hard to imagine how dark the world would have been without him. She replies, quote, true, but you can gain the whole world and still lose your own soul. Only if you keep your own soul pure can you impact the world for the truly lasting eternal purposes of Yah. End quote. There is considerably more jarring information about this man and his wife contained in the section of the final quest that warrants reading. Who do you think the famous reformer is? I believe we're talking here about Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant Church, the Protestant movement, greatly esteemed by many Christians. And yet here, if I am correct, we find him in the place of the foolish virgins, together with his wife, saying that he failed Yah in many, many respects. So, folks, what I'm saying to you is it's not just about what you do, it's about why you do it. What are you doing for Father today? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you planting good seed or evil seed or no seed? I really hope that I'm getting through to you. This is heavy, heavy stuff. I want you to see that you can qualify for a high throne in heaven for eternity. And I want you to see that you can just scrape into heaven or even end up in the outer darkness as one who did nothing for Yah after you believed. And you cannot make it into heaven at all as an unbeliever. We're going to see as we continue with this journey that it is possible to qualify for a high throne. And what we're seeing here is that it is possible to do apparently great works and yet not qualify for a high throne. On page 100, paragraph 2, Joyner reports that he realized that much of what he was doing to promote himself rather than the Almighty and his kingdom. He also states that he began to see how much he did to, quote, prove myself to others, especially those who disliked me and who rejected me, or who I felt in competition with in some way, end quote. He refers to seeing that much of his life was, quote, built on the facades of a rejected image that belied who I really was, unquote. The important point here is not Joyner's judgment of himself, but to what extent his judgment of himself may be almost universally applicable to men and women on earth today. And we'll see shortly that there are a lot more women in heaven than men. And the closer we get to the thrones, the greater the number of women relative to the number of men. So if you're a man and you're listening to me today, you really, really need to soberly consider what you're doing. Folks, this is heavy stuff. This is about how you are going to spend eternity, which is the subject of this series. Will you spend eternity on a high throne close to Yeshua? Or will you just scrape by? Or maybe not even make it? Page 101, paragraph 3, the famous reformer states, Do not try to teach others to do what you yourself are not doing. Reformation is not just a doctrine. He goes on to say that true reformation only comes from a union with the Almighty and from being yoked with the anointing of the Spirit of Yah and carrying the burdens that He gives you. He goes on to say that you can only do His work when you're doing it with Him and not just for Him. Only the Spirit can beget that which is Spirit. The quote, famous reformer further states, the things that are done in an effort to make history will at best confine your accomplishments to history, and you will fail to impact eternity. If you do not live what you preach to others, you disqualify yourself from the high calling. That's all for today, folks. This will be continued next week. But I leave you to think about this famous reformer. Maybe I'm mistaken as to his identity. I don't think so. You figure out who else it could be. I really urge you to recognize that you need to get close to Father. There's an article on the website, Seven Components of Drawing Close to Yah. I urge you to read that. I ask you to put it into practice. You need to get filled with the Spirit of Yah. You need to be led by the Spirit of Yah. You need to have a deep, intimate relationship with Yah. That is the only way that you will succeed for eternity. So to wrap up, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, the reason we exist is to have a deep personal relationship with Yah. Fundamentally, way back, He was lonely. He decided to create beings who could be His friends. The whole universe, the solar system, the planet Earth, the plants, the animals, you and I were created with one objective and one objective only: to create intelligent beings with the ability to make decisions and choices, who would actively seek friendship with the Creator. If you are not actively seeking friendship with the Creator, your life is a waste of time. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. If you've been on this, listened to this program a number of times, you're probably going to want to drop off in a moment. If this is your first or second visit, I'd like to share a bit more information, so I'd ask you to hold on. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, fat or thin, tall or short, educated or uneducated. Doesn't matter whether you're African, Asian, European, Caucasian, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you are dark-skinned or fair-skinned. It doesn't matter whether you're blonde and blue eyes or black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. It doesn't matter whether you are Muslim or Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist or a witch or a warlock. Father Yah wants a deep personal relationship with you. Pray now, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I hear you want to be my friend. I want to be your friend. Help me to become your friend. Take me by the hand and lead me. And then go to the website, read what you find to read, email me, and I will help you. So for those of you who've been around for a while, I'm going to say good night. For those of you who haven't, please stay on, and I'll give you a bit more information. So in closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years of experience actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe near the top of the website. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is at the ETI Bible version. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, together with transcripts. The recordings are on the website, relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, or search on Google for quote relationship with Creator Radio. There are about four podcast websites with the back issues. The transcripts are available on the transcripts of broadcast page at the top of the menu, just the last couple of weeks are not there. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are on the books for printing page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword, cloud, table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Thanks so much for listening. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you where you will spend eternity. I want to ask you if you know what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. Note that heaven is clearly a desirable place to spend eternity. If you're not actively seeking a high throne for eternity, you're missing the point of your existence. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or Talk4TV.com and visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much.